Well, my friends, it is April Fool's Day, but no fooling. Here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, we have great programming for you, brain-stimulating and mind-tickling conversation all the time. This show is no exception. We call it Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. It's also known as a finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor when our official presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, joins me at the microphone. And no fooling, Dr. Fineman is here for 138th show, I believe, something like that. How are you doing on this fine April morning, Ron?
Good morning. I think it's 104th show, including the ones I've had with Scott. Yes.
Okay,
about
well,
you, it's about 87 or 88.
Close enough. And as we talked about last week, this was April Fool's Day, and it is April Fool's Day, and never quite know what's going to be real, what's going to be fake. Kind of like the news, you never know what's fake, what's real, or sometimes it goes back and forth depending upon maybe what time of the day it is. We discussed earlier, some people are kind of thinking that the Donald Trump administration is one big April Fool's joke, or maybe they wish it was a big April Fool's joke.
I wish it was. It's not, however.
But as we know, Ron, it's real. And again, love him or hate him, Donald Trump does stimulate interest in history, in politics, and current affairs. And I think it is good for people taking an interest in this great country, as well as people in other countries kind of intrigued by what is going on at the United States of America. There's a lot of stories across the world that are happening, the government in Venezuela, the Brexit, a lot of tension over at the United Kingdom. We could devote several shows to that. And again, out of lack of a better term, interesting nature, unusual nature of the Donald Trump presidential administration. And now we add more fuel to the fire as the 2020 presidential campaigns have begun. Not unexpectedly, we have at least 1,000 candidates from both sides. Maybe a bit unlike, opposite of last time, we have more Democratic candidates, but that would be because the current president is a Republican, and it's not common that the sitting president would lose in his own primary, but who knows? There have been surprises every minute, so before I commit to something that will definitely happen or not happen, probably should take a look back and see, well, maybe it actually will be the case. As we've talked about on previous shows, Ron, the most intriguing candidate in the Democratic primary is a gentleman from a state very close to Ohio, from a great college town, Columbus, too big to be a college town per se, but certainly known for Ohio State, but South Bend, Indiana, or technically Notre Dame, Indiana, home of the great Notre Dame Fighting Irish, great university, certainly a regional rival of Ohio State and other nearby major universities. Their popular mayor, known as Mayor Pete, because his last name has multiple pronunciations, which I will address shortly. He has become the most intriguing candidate among the Democrats. If he were to become president, he would break two milestones, the only U.S. president ever to take office before the age of 40. Goodness sakes, I'm almost old enough to be his father. That's quite scary. And he would be the first openly gay president. And we do say openly because you never quite know, nor is it really necessarily anybody's business what a person does in his or her bedroom. But it's generally accepted that President Buchanan was not exactly a heterosexual, but we don't know, as he's obviously deceased. And times are a bit different than they were when Buchanan was president. But Mayor Pete, as he likes to be called, is open about his sexual orientation, and he is legally married to another gentleman, and they have two dogs and maybe some other people or other members of the animal kingdom that are in their lovely family. His husband, who has kind of the almost like the opposite. He has an unusual first name to match their unusual married last name, is a school teacher at a parochial school, a middle school, I believe. So this gentleman, Mayor Pete, whose last name is pronounced either Buttigieg or Buttigieg, I personally like Buttigieg because it does fit the approximate phonetics better. So we'll go ahead.
And interestingly, I've seen people pronounce it what you just said, Buttigieg, and yet there was E.R. Dionne, who's a very famous journalist for the Washington Post, claims it's Buttigieg. I've been saying Buttigieg, but actually it's more looking at it like Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Whatever it is, he likes to be called Mayor Pete, and with an easy name like Pete, I don't really question that. So he certainly is the most intriguing candidate. And one thing about him, and I'm seeing more about this, Ron, is he's not really talking much about his stand on issues. And that is interesting. Certainly mayor of a medium-sized city with a very large college. It's not really a case of Democrat or Republican. I contend that there's no Democrat or Republican when you're a mayor, and that would apply even more with a college town at borders Michigan. Michigan certainly traditionally more to the left than the state of Indiana. College towns, college cities tend to swing to the left, and so there are many factors there. So he is a Democrat, but exactly how liberal he is, what his stands are on the big issues of the day, immigration, health care, military spending, etc. We aren't totally sure, and obviously that'll come out more and more as the election approaches. But
yeah, I wanted to mention the first Democratic debate is now set for Wednesday and Thursday, June 26th and 27th in Miami. They're going to have two rounds because there's too many for one round. It will be by pure chance which people in each round. But two nights in a row, they're going to have the candidates at the end of June, and that will be a way to start, you know, really comparing people and seeing some people not doing, quote, well, end quote, as far as how they're judged, and some people not having funding, et cetera. So I'm sure the number of people involved in the first debate will be much smaller in the second debate in July.
Right, and just 12 weeks away. So the clock is ticking, my friends, and we'll see what happens. I'm sure that will be entertaining and will also be educational. Certainly one thing that has come out about Mr. Buttigieg, or Mayor Pete, whichever you prefer to denote him as, it's an essay he wrote about Bernie Sanders almost 20 years ago. And as I've talked about, you know how much I dislike Sanders and dislike the idea of socialism. But again, what
he was
I would
18 years of age, just high school senior, and he wrote that and won a contest at the Kennedy Library for what he wrote. So that's long ago, half his life ago.
And there are certainly things that a person can say that will cause me to say I will never vote for this person. And we talked about Kamala Harris, who is off my permanently disqualified list unless I hear a very sincere apology about something she recently said. And other ways, I am convinced that she would be a good candidate. Since I don't see that happening, that's one person I don't have to consider. But
well, as I was saying to you last week, either you or Scott or both of you should try to get her to talk to you on your station and see and bring up that question. I think that's something that should be sought to try to get her to answer to either you or Scott or both of you.
Well, that would be one for the masses, wouldn't it? But in terms of mayor,
I would hope it could happen.
Right. In terms of Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, you never quite know. But anyway, with Mayor Pete, Bernie Sanders certainly is an innovator, and I would say that the opinion that he provided when he wrote the essay, again almost a generation ago, was positive. But that was before Sanders was as well known now and started what I feel is a attempted move to a socialist based ideology of the Democratic Party.
I want to point out that Sanders at that time was a House member. He had been the first independent House member in a long time, so he was intriguing in the year 2000.
Right.
But of course a lot has happened since, yes.
Right. Things have happened. I almost say, Ron, as you might expect, Buttigieg, being gay, being at the edge of what would be considered a millennial, and being from a college town. I mean, and technically Notre Dame is in Notre Dame, Indiana, but for all intents and purposes, it's in South Bend or certainly the metro area. I'm kind of getting the feeling, and this would be very good if he wants my vote, that he's not as liberal as people might think that he is. Again, his husband teaches in a parochial school, and so maybe I'm seeing him with philosophy similar to someone who was what you might call a minority candidate, Geraldine Ferraro. And I've talked about how I greatly admired how she said she was not pro-choice because she was a devout Catholic, but she wasn't going to force those beliefs on other people, so she considered herself as Geraldine Ferraro, the candidate, to be pro-choice. And bottom line is, just make up your own decisions and keep your laws off my body. I'm kind of getting the feeling I might see...
fairly religious in a, I think, more liberal way, not Mike Pence way,
right,
because he does seem to go to church regularly. He does care about religion in that sense.
Right.
But I think he's more like a Jimmy Carter type than a Mike Pence type on religion.
Well, with that certainly is worth consideration. But that's, I guess, part of the mystery. Maybe he's kind of waiting to unwrap those beliefs closer to the time when they have the debate. Certainly things about Buttigieg that I like are his resume. Again, only being in his 30s, he's a veteran. He took time off from his mayoral tenure to fight for his country. He's still in the reserves. He speaks at least as many languages as Melania speaks, causing me to
She speaks 7 plus English, 8.
Causing me to make a wise crack that I will shortly reprise because it was too good to keep under wraps.
Yeah, but, you know, his husband speaks 5 languages, and some of them are different. So they're the most linguist combination couple I've ever heard of.
Well, that kind of defeats my joke, because my joke was that if he were to go straight, he should marry Melania, and then they would speak enough languages to...
Right, 10 years older, yeah.
Right, they would speak enough languages to have a different language at the dinner table every day for almost 2 weeks, but I guess Mayor Pete already has that distinction, so...
And meanwhile, Donald can't even speak English properly, can he?
Right. And you've heard the jokes. You've heard the jokes. I mean, Melania speaks 5 languages. That's 5 more than her husband speaks. Pete Buttigieg speaks 7, 8, 9 languages. And that's 7, 8, 9 more than Donald speaks. And, of course, the joke that I made that you giggled at a few days ago when Barbara Bush said that she no longer considered herself a Republican when Donald got elected. To which I, of course, said she did fight for literacy. Maybe she, if she would have lived longer, she could have given Donald some reading lessons. So,
and also maybe get him to stop using foul language at rallies like he did this week. Things that we might say, but you don't say in front of an audience when you're a public leader. You don't use foul four-letter words.
Barbara,
but he does.
Yeah, with her pearls and her grandma looks, her neatly coiffed white hair. Kind of impressed me as a lady, someone who would never say any four-letter words other than her last name, of course.
Well, actually, in 1984, she apparently said the B word ending with H, and then when she was confronted, she said, no, I said which I don't think was much better. So she got into a little trouble back in 1984
after her
husband stayed with Ferraro.
We'll forgive Barbara. As you know, I'm an admirer of her, as Ron is. There are many first ladies. Ironically, they're Republicans, but more moderate Republicans, speaking of Barbara Bush and Betty Ford, that we have a great admiration for. And as we've seen, the political leanings of a spouse may not be the same as that of the president. And of course, if Buttigieg were to become president, we would probably find that out also. Certainly intrigued that it's a parochial school that his husband teaches at. His husband is a major tweeter, not unlike our current sitting president. So some interesting parallels, and who knows? I guess.
Yeah, what's also interesting is the jokes going around that Chastain would become the first husband, instead of first lady, obviously, and that supposedly Bill Clinton would have been the first husband if Hillary had been put into office. So instead it would be Chastain, not Bill Clinton. I think that's quite funny in a way.
certainly we would have 2 first spouses, let's just use that term, in a row, where they would speak a total of like 15 different languages between the two of them, between Melania and Chastain. And that would also be one for the record books. But bottom line is, whoever might win the presidency, it will be a costly and well-fought battle. And who knows, Donald may assume office.
It was $2 billion last time. It probably will be $4 billion before it's over. I bet it'll double. Unbelievable. But it's good for business. Good for New Hampshire, Iowa, South Carolina, Nevada, and other states with all the media coming in, of course, living in hotels, you know, spending in restaurants, et cetera. So it's good economic business for all these states that are early primaries and caucus.
Many businesses in Ohio, since it seems like they stop by this great state all the time.
Well, they have to, because it's a swing state. It's the ultimate state that decides elections. Every Republican who's ever become president, except Ford, of course, came in by succession. He lost Ohio. But every elected Republican has won Ohio, including Donald Trump.
Now, we're speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on WWGH Radio, as you probably have surmised. He is the author of a blog that I strongly recommend that you listen. Well, I guess you could listen to it, but you can read it. Share it with your friends. Bookmark it. It's called theprogressiveprofessor.com. You wrote yesterday on Sunday, March 31st, 2019, quandary for Democrats, progressive or moderate, man or woman, white or non-white, young or old, senator, governor, or a non-traditional candidate. And pretty much covers it all. Although one thing I will take issue with you, Ron, is calling Bernie Sanders a progressive. I wouldn't call him a progressive. I would call him a socialist. Elizabeth Warren, I guess we could call her a progressive. She's kind of a one of a kind. As I said, she certainly is far to the left of many of my beliefs, but I kind of admire her being a loudmouth. I'm not proud of her Pocahontas or some other stupid things that you've said, but compared to, again, we bring it up again, Kamala Harris and others, including Donald Trump, and some stupid things that they say, I don't see it as quite as bad. And I think you would agree, Ron, because of her age and experience, and she is not stupid, I can assure you of that. If she were to become president, she would tone it down, conduct herself in a more professional manner, and also likely moderate. Although I'm not.
Oh, I think she would. Actually, she's a professor. You know, and she taught Ted Cruz, for instance. I think that's hilarious. Senator Ted Cruz was one of her students. But obviously, although he excelled in the grade, he obviously didn't get impacted by her.
As we were talking about offline a day or two ago, Ron, if Buttigieg, or whatever his name is, were to become the nominee, whom would he pick as the running mate? Now, it's generally understood.
I would say Julian Castro, of you know, the former mayor of San Antonio, right, and housing secretary under Obama. So that would they would be 39 and 46. Now, let's just say, I know you're not a big fan of Beto O'Rourke, but if he was there, he'd be 48. He'd be 39 and 48. I think those three candidates, in different ways, not as much Castro yet, but I think he'll take off. They're sort of like appealing as young, a new generation, and sort of like new faces, and I think that does help those three candidates particularly right now anyway.
As generally understood, if you're already a minority, again, all presidents have been male. Obama, of course, was black. No females. No one who's openly gay. Latino is kind of a different one because in many areas, Latinos are a plurality or even a majority.
And they are the largest minority in America, larger than African Americans, I want to point out. There's more people from Hispanic background than any other background. So it is a minority, and I think that's an important minority to get. And I would think if I was Buttigieg, I would pick Castro, assuming he would accept to be his running mate. Or if Castro was, I would pick Buttigieg to be his running mate. So I think would be a very good ticket. Texas and Indiana, and those are both red states, but I think it puts both of them in play.
So would Buttigieg pick someone who is, out of lack of a better way to say it, not an old white man?
Well, somebody the age of Sanders or Biden, or even Warren, for somebody that, I don't think that would make sense. It's one thing when Obama had Biden, but, there was 19 years there, that's true. But in this case, if it was like Buttigieg with Biden, I'm not saying he would take it, or Sanders, it would be like double the age, like 40 years difference. That's too much difference. You would have to pick someone probably no older than, say, Amy Klobuchar, who would be 60 and he would be 39. So maybe that is about the limit, somebody in the late 50s or around 60. But other than that, with somebody 39, I think it's just too old to go beyond that.
Ron, you would know this as the presidentologist. There is no limit on the number of years you can serve as VP, unlike president. So
that's true, but nobody has actually been vice president more than 8 years, and I don't think Joe Biden would ever accept that,
right.
And certainly Sanders wouldn't. I don't think Warren would either, so I think the ones in their 70s, you can forget, that, you know, maybe somebody in their 60s, which could be like 25 years difference, is possible. That is like, you know, like in the case of Bush 1 and Quayle, it was 22 years, it was 19 years between Obama and Biden, but I think if you go way beyond 20 or 22 years, it's going too far, in my opinion, to have somebody that much older. But, you know, again, we're in a time when anything can happen. You know, everything, all the old rules are gone, so who knows?
I mean, Buttigieg and Biden. I guess I was thinking of the great state of Indiana. That would be, well, Buttigieg and Pence, that would be odd. That probably wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen.
But Buttigieg and Biden, to me, is an attractive
ticket.
They're
both from the same state. So you could not have O'Rourke and Castro on the ticket together. They're both from Texas. That's an example. You could not have, you know, you can't have both from the same state.
And I joked yesterday that Buttigieg and Hillary would be a good ticket, but we kind of laughed and said, well, we might like it.
She would never accept vice president. No, I don't think she would.
It's not going to happen, but to me, it's an attractive choice. But,
well, maybe if Hillary somehow got into the race and won, she could pick him. But I don't know. I don't know if it would work. I just don't see it happening. You know.
I see O'Rourke to be, in addition to problems with his criminal record, which I believe would resurface once he ascends to office. He is very to the left. He makes no bones about his political beliefs.
But not as much as Sanders or Warren. I don't think.
Well, Sanders is a completely different. Different direction. Warren, again, although she certainly seems very liberal, I think this, with her experience and intelligence, she would moderate. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just kind of seeing that. But
Well, one thing I find a little disconcerting is we have a few House members already in the race, or former House members. We have, of course, Beto O'Rourke. We also have, at the same time, Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, and that's two. And also now Seth Moulton of Massachusetts was just on yesterday on CNN, and he's thinking about running. And supposedly Tim Ryan, who's in your state, Ohio, as a congressman, who's a pretty significant congressman, is thinking of running. And, you know, so we're having even more people, and even Eric Swalwell of California. We're going to probably have five or six House members running, and we've only had one House member ever directly elected, and that's Garfield, who gets assassinated. And the only other one who had been recently a House member was Gerald Ford. In between, he had 8 months as vice president. To think we're going to actually elect a House member or a former House member, I just find it hard to believe. But again, we're living in a time when anything is possible.
Well, no matter what happens, it will be one for the masses and media outlets making a lot of money on advertising and people talking and never a loss of topics for our show or other politically or current events related programming. And I guess that's good. As I said, love him or hate him, Donald Trump has really stimulated interest in this country and its politics. And to me, that's actually one of his strongest points. As I said, other presidents were kind of boring. Both Bushes. Obama was interesting because he was the first non-white president. But I think that kind of wore off, especially in his second term, and it kind of got a little,
well,
little more
lucky. Well, second terms usually are not as good as first anyway.
Yeah.
It's hard. Once you're reelected and you're a lame duck, and that's one of the problems for Joe Biden. There's some people saying that he should say, I only have one term because of my age, or Sanders say it. But I don't think they would say that, and maybe they would once they're in, but then you automatically weaken yourself because you're not coming back. So I think either of them, if they were in the White House, would have to wait to year three to say, I'm not going to run again. They can't say it ahead of time, even if their age is high, because I think that makes them weaker. So second terms, you are a lame duck already, and that is a problem. Yes. So,
we'll see. But again, the interest in politics, again, things and related topics like history, I have not seen this in my lifetime. And Ron, being a generation or so older than myself, I don't think you have either. And again, it's very good for you.
Well, 68 was like that. 68 was an unbelievable tumultuous year, you know, when the Vietnam War was at its peak and Nixon came back and won and Humphrey had to battle against Robert Kennedy until he was assassinated, and Eugene McCarthy and George Wallace running. But since 68, I don't think any election has been quite the same as this one in 2020 now.
But you're still doing your professoring, if that's a word, so.
Yes, I'm still teaching part-time.
And
teaching
I think, include,
including a U.S. presidency course at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton. Yes.
But I think you've seen interest from your students, more people signing up, and even, again, people like myself from other disciplines. I'm a science, math, and IT guy, finding this all very fascinating. And that's good. I fully admit I didn't pay enough attention to history when I was younger. I've learned to appreciate it. And so our younger listeners, please do pay it. Even if you're as math and science oriented as I am, please pay attention in history class. You really become a better person by learning about
science class. Yes, yeah.
What has happened in this nation, in this great nation's history, and what will happen, and you'll make better decisions as a voter. I think voting, it shouldn't be compulsory, but I think it is something you should feel obligated to do as an American, and you should make an informed decision. And understand, no candidate's perfect. None of the candidates we've talked about are, so we hate to say pick the lesser of evils. That seems like what we're always doing, but maybe we'll find a candidate who is palatable, and you give at least a B plus two. B maybe.
That's the hope, because it's very important that we have the best possible choice. If you don't want Trump, you've got to find someone who can beat him, and that's the issue. It's not just who you like, it's who can defeat him. That's the issue, and it's not going to be easy.
Now, we talked last week, Ron, about the Mueller decision, which was kind of fresh. We've had a week to, well, don't pardon the pun, mull it over. I just love using that pun because it is very good. Donald Trump is claiming victory, and I think he has a right to, but has everything kind of been brushed under the rug? Did he really deserve this, and is something not being discussed, and might it actually resurface?
Well, the thing is, the four-page statement by the Attorney General is not the whole story. We need to see the actual Mueller report, and it's being held up, and it's being redacted and all that. And, it's becoming a controversy. And already, of course, our president's going after the head of the Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, and talking about his pencil neck. Like, I never even thought about a pencil neck. And who cares if he has a pencil neck? I mean, it's so ridiculous, the things he's attacking people on. It's so childish. It's the kind of thing a third grader would say. It's just embarrassing, because stick to the real important things, not how they look or how they speak. It's just crazy. But that's just giving Adam Schiff more publicity, and I don't think it's weakening him at all. I think it's strengthening him.
I would agree. And Trump, as I said, he does say things that are stupid. We discussed how his being kind of an objectionable person is somewhat attractive. You may not even want to admit it, but he will march.
You wouldn't want to live with such a person, though. Just know such a person, but not live with him, right?
Well, I'm saying I'm not married to the guy, and thank goodness.
I'm just saying,
for
you
that.
Wouldn't want to have to live with him every day, but actually, we do on TV and radio.
So, is it showing the United States as having muscle, that we're going to do things our way, do things the American way? Contrast it to Carter, where it seemed like the United States wasn't taken seriously, and he was considered to be a weak leader. Is Trump a weak leader because of the things he says, or does that make him a stronger leader? It kind of depends whom you ask. With me and...
Well, a lot of it is if other leaders are horrified by him, the foreign leaders. So I don't think in international affairs he's really helping us at all. I think he's weakening us in so many ways. I'm worried about NATO. The NATO 70th anniversary is coming up, and I'm sure he's going to be involved in it. And what is he going to say? There's some people fearing he might say, I'm getting out of NATO, we're getting out of NATO, and to hell with NATO because they're not paying enough, etc. And I'm just concerned that the alliance could be broken up, and I hope not, but I think it depends on how he wakes up that morning, because he's so inconsistent on many issues that he says one thing and then he says another the next day. So I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, as I nothing else, Donald Trump is entertaining us, and as you're implying, stimulating interest in our great country. Whether you love him or hate him, to me that's a good thing. The way he's doing it is not the traditional way, but Donald Trump isn't traditional. He came into the presidency never having held elective office. He was more from show business, although Reagan was from show business, but Reagan had a lot of political experience. Plus, he had run an unsuccessful campaign previously. So there are just things about the guy that are different, and you never quite know with this guy. But does kind of make me look forward to waking up every morning and going to CNN.com and other news outlets and seeing exactly what is the Donald issue of the day. Because more than likely, it will be something that will surprise me and, as I said, entertain me. Whether it's good entertainment or not, that's open to debate. Before we talk about the two controversial issues that you brought up toward the end of last week, let me ask you about two other things. Jesse, Jesse Smollett, he was exonerated. What do you think about that decision, Ron? Do you think that he got off easy? Did he bribe somebody, or is he just not guilty? Or do you?
The whole thing is ridiculous about this actor, because it seems to me what happened, you know, he really did stage that, so it seems. But yet, for some reason, they dropped the charges. But the mayor, you know, Rahm Emanuel, was condemnatory. The police were, but the prosecutor decided not to continue it. But now they supposedly want him to pay court costs or investigation costs of $130,000, and he said he's not going to pay it. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it helps his career. It does not help people who are real victims, who are gay and or black, and get attacked, because it makes people not believe anyone. So I still think his career is probably in tatters. And as far as $130,000, I don't know whether they'll have to pay it or not, but it's just crazy. You know, I don't know what to make of it all.
I don't know, Ron. I wasn't there, but from what I am seeing, he is guilty with a capital G, and I'm disgusted by the whole thing. Certainly, there is privilege given to people with money, with connections, and
yes,
that just isn't fair. I bring up an analogy that I brought up millions of times, and I'll bring it up for the million and one, whatever the million and first time. Right now, there's someone in jail because he or she gave a beer to someone who's 19, 20 years old, or also someone who may have smoked a joint is in jail,
yeah,
or facing a fine, or in some other way being punished, maybe not being able to get a job because of a criminal history. But this guy, who faked a hate crime, which to me is very serious, he got off scot-free. And he has plenty of money. He can afford any lawsuit or any legal fees. And that just disgusts me. That kind
it
of thing.
That's why the whole thing, they dropped the charges, but the mayor was furious, and so was the police. So I don't know. I don't know how it came about. Was it? I don't understand the whole situation. It should never have happened in any case.
I mean, I list what I consider to be
are gay or black. That's what's bad about it.
I list what I consider to be the major problems in this country, and I'm going to have to inch up the ranking that I would give to a very poor, if not corrupt, and legal system and justice system where there isn't any justice. As you fake a serious crime, you are very guilty. And you're talking about a hate crime against,
if you were not a public figure, you would not get away with it like he apparently is. Yeah.
And yes, if you have money and you can afford a better lawyer, there's more of a chance you will get exonerated. But O.J. Simpson had plenty of money and fame. He was found guilty, and I personally see Jesse Smollett looking more guilty than O.J. Simpson was. But I kind of think they're both guilty, and I also think Bill Cosby is guilty. He went to jail.
Yeah.
He's sitting in jail right now. Smollett gets off scot-free, and that just disgusts me. Again, I don't know. Maybe he's not guilty. Maybe I'll look stupid by saying that. But to me, from what I've seen, and I think I know more than enough to make a wise decision, he is guilty, hands down. I don't know what happened. It does look like a bribe of some sort took place. And I'll add, as I have, Ron, and I think even you would agree with this, I know you're not the Roseanne fan that I am, but what Roseanne did isn't even a trillionth as bad as what Smollett did. She just opened up her mouth. That's what she does. That's how she's made her money. She said something which wasn't very nice, but it wasn't illegal. It was just...
I agree with you on that.
It was just inappropriate.
People have been joking about the name Barr, Roseanne Barr, and then the Attorney General, you know, William Barr, that the name Barr is not the most popular name this past week.
Right.
And they're not related, of course, but it's just funny.
And Smollett faked a hate crime, wasting police and court resources. And I feel it's a setback to the two minorities that he's a member of, but it's a setback to anyone who's a human being. But I think it does affect gay rights and racial equality. That kind of thing is inexcusable. And the thought that he would ever be paid to act in the future is atrocious. Whereas with Roseanne, they wrote her off her own show. I personally think that punishment didn't fit the crime. But notwithstanding, what Smollett did, again, is a trillion times as bad as what Roseanne did. For one thing, he did commit a crime, a rather serious. We're not talking about jaywalking. This is a serious crime.
Jaywalking.
Well, we're not. I mean, crime or breaking the law, it goes from one end to the other. what he did. I think he would agree, Ron,
back on that show. They knocked him out of the show for the rest of the season, but I wonder if he's going to be brought back next year. People are saying that his
acting career is over, and I certainly hope that it is, but seeing is believing. With Roseanne, the punishment did not fit the crime. And we'll just kind of leave it at that. It's all kind of relative. As I say, political candidates, as we talked about last week and talk about almost every show, they say things that are stupid, but how stupid is it? Will it cause someone like myself to say that I would never vote for this person? Harris, she committed the offense of being in the situation where I would never vote for her. Trump says a lot of stupid things, and I have to clench my teeth many times. But I cannot remember anything that Trump has said that is worse. And again, Harris is just a candidate, so it's judged in a different perspective. What Harris
I suggest promote Scott Schoenegger on his show, if not yours, and give her a chance to explain that. I think it should be done, or somebody media should do it in any case.
We'll see what happens, Ron. Even Scott can't get everybody on his show, but if it does, it'll be a good one. Let's put it that way. But... Mm-hmm. And again, even Ron agrees with me of Harris's comment, which again was essentially comparing ICE to the KKK, was unacceptable.
That's ridiculous. Yes, it is.
And as I said, the chance that I would ever vote for her isn't very good, unless it was for something like bathroom maintenance or toilet bowl cleaner, because that's about what she's qualified for in my mind at this point.
Well, one other thing I want to mention, I'm not sure how you feel about this. She's against the death penalty, as Michael Dukakis was against George H.W. Bush, and that really harmed him, however you feel about the issue in 1988. So being against the death penalty, as a number of the Democrats are, could be a problem for many voters. Right. I don't know how you feel about that.
I'm extremely in favor of the death penalty, as we've talked about before. That will be inconsistent with many Democrats, but I'm an independent, and many Democrats are pro-death penalty. It's somewhere between, I would say, a conservative and a nonpartisan topic, as many Democrats are. I've always have been, even when I was younger, when I was more to the left of where I am now. Honestly, when I found out that the death penalty was considered something that was more of a Republican type of issue, I was surprised. I said, why wouldn't Democrats want to be tough on crime? Why wouldn't we execute somebody who commits a very serious crime? To me, I still wonder that. I understand we're not always 100% sure if somebody is guilty. So I have to say something theoretical. If we are 100% sure that somebody did it, yes. Electric chair
for
that person.
Well, the question is, sometimes they find about one out of every seven on death row, they find are not guilty. And Governor Gavin Newsom has entered the death penalty in California. I guess you're saying if he suddenly entered the race in, say, 2024, you would not be able to support Gavin Newsom because he's done that in California, right?
I don't list being against the death penalty as a disqualifier, but it is important to me, just like not being pro-choice. There are many issues that are very important to me, so I have to take a look at the fact that as an independent, I have far left beliefs, I have far right beliefs, I have some that I would consider to be nonpartisan, some that are kind of in middle of the road or almost waver a little bit. I have to see which candidate's profile fits my beliefs better. And how much...
Okay, so if Mike Pence ended up being the nominee, I assume you would not vote for him because he's anti-gay rights. Is that correct? Or you would still leave it open?
I would have to see...
Mike Pence.
Against whom he is running. As I mentioned, it might
if he
be necessary.
Was running against Harris, what would you do?
I would unquestionably vote for Pence.
I can't believe he would do that. I think he would not vote for either of them, maybe.
Well, then not voting for either is a vote likely for Pence. So
we'll vote for Howard Schultz. If he runs as an independent.
I would like to think that there are two candidates that I would both find likable and have to decide which one would be the more likable of two good candidates. But sometimes you're picking...
Okay, what about Mike Pence against Mayor Pete? I guess you'd vote for Mayor Pete, even if you're not sure on everything. That would be really the classic case. Two from Indiana, totally different on that issue.
Unless I find that there are some issues of Mayor Pete's that I have a serious problem with, I would likely vote for him. It also depends upon the vice presidential nominee. Let's hope he doesn't pick Harris. I could probably live with O'Rourke. I wouldn't be happy about it, but I don't want to see Harris anywhere near the White House from what I'm hearing out of her mouth, she is just dangerous. And
well, hopefully she will repent on that or explain herself. I still, whether it's, even if it's in the debate in June, it should come up. I hope somebody will ask that question.
Right. And I could live with O'Rourke. I think he is a definite possible choice for Buttigieg. I don't see Harris. But who knows?
How about Castro? I still think Castro is very good choice, too.
Castro is probably too liberal for me, but I can live with the guy. He is smart, and I just like I've said about Warren, I think that these smart candidates will moderate and understand that there are views the masses have versus their views, and you have to kind of have a happy medium. And that same thing that I've said about Elizabeth Warren, if she were to become president or some other high ranking political office. But you never know. We'll be talking next week with more than likely some more surprises. But
yeah, I wanted to bring in, we have never talked about Andrew Yang, who is running for the Democratic nomination, who's an entrepreneur, never been in public office, and he talks about a guaranteed universal income. What do you think about that? I don't know how much you know about him. He's 44,
right.
And he's, and of course, Asian American, but he's one of the people nobody talks about, but he's an announced candidate.
No, I'm in favor. Not in favor of that. I know other countries do it.
Universal basic income is
right. We've had the Homestead Act, which, again, there are some similarities, but it really is comparing apples
to
oranges.
Yes.
I believe that if you want money in your pocket, you get a job or start a business, or if you have a legitimate reason, receive disability or other kind of assistance. The idea of just handing out money to people, especially with our budget deficit where it is, I'm not in favor of that. And that would likely
He's from Taiwan. His parents are from Taiwan. He's Chinese-American. I'm just pointing out. Andrew Yang. He's going to be in the debates, I'm sure. He's going to have enough backing to be able to at least be in the first debate. So he'll be someone else to notice, though. Nobody talks about Andrew Yang.
I would love to see a candidate of Asian descent, but not that one. So let's... that would be something that would be a hot topic and a debate. If there wasn't a budget deficit, it might be different, but we have one. Where I come from, the citizens pay the government. The government doesn't pay them. And I don't think that opinion
would be
too popular.
The only thing is he probably would say, stop giving the top one-tenth or 1% massive tax cuts, and then we could do his universal basic income.
Well, I have no problem with removing the generosity given to the very rich people. That's actually done is a different matter. But no,
of course.
Don't just write a check out to people. I'm not in favor of that.
Uh-huh.
And yes, I would love to get a check from the government, but I don't deserve one, nor does anybody else. Again, it's different. It's different from the Homestead Act, which, again, there are some parallels, but it is really different. And people receiving assistance who have a legitimate reason, that's not what I'm talking about. If I have money in my pocket, it's because I've netted a profit in my business or have done work where I've been paid a wage, and that's kind of how it should be. In my case,
I don't deserve
assistance. I'm not in that category of people with that legitimate reason. But of course many people are. But write a check to everybody just for living in this country, I'm not cool with that idea, and I would expect that that would be nice to get a check, but I don't deserve one. And I think my opinion is probably the majority. Well, not unexpectedly, Ron, our time has come to an end. It seems like we've been talking for 10 minutes, but it's actually toward the top of the hour.
We've had a great time, though. We've put up a lot of different issues,
Always flies. Yeah, presidential candidates, Mayor Pete, what Donald has been up to, languages spoken by political candidates, first ladies, and whomever
else.
First
husband potential.
stupid things that people say. Yeah. How stupid are they? Jesse Smollett, who should be lucky that he's not sitting in a jail cell right now for 10 to 15 years like he should be. And I think even 10 to 15 years would be lenient. And other people, are they guilty or not? Again, I wasn't there. But again, as I see it, if I were to pick between OJ and Smollett, I would say Smollett looks more guilty to me. But I append that with the fact that I'm just a goofy chemistry major. So interpret that how you wish. But I'm not pleased.
And of course,
the
one thing is O.J. murdered someone. At least Smollett did not murder someone. It's bad, but it's not the same as murder.
Right. And I'm not saying the nature of the crime. What I'm saying is that how guilty do they look based upon the evidence?
Yes.
And I think they're both guilty. But yes. Smollett
anyway,
seems...
Anyway, thank you so much again. It was great.
Right. Smollett seems more blatantly guilty from my perspective. And we'll close by referencing these memes that you probably saw on Facebook where people are saying, try my case in Chicago. I'll go ahead and be found not guilty.
Oh, and, boy. and that's why I think the mayor is very upset.
Chicago is a wonderful city that I love, one of my favorite towns, the closest enormous city to Marion. And it pains me to see that, but I'm sorry to say I think that it's true. So thanks again, Ron, for being with us, and we will likely talk to you
again,
next week. Have a great rest of your April Fool's Day.